Hey, this is Kathy Bilski, the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show on UPR and radio. And this is January 17th, 2020. Well, first off, guys, I want to say thank you to all of you people that worked with me and everyone else on the planet directing energy at the fires in Australia. It took us a good 2 weeks, but we did manage to get rain almost across the whole continent, which is not an easy feat. So now that they've got rain and it's putting out some of the fires, one of the things I'm going to ask you for help with, when ash falls, especially in the water, now it's really great on the ground because everything's going to grow, but when it falls in the water, it kills the oxygen and it can kill the fish. And the runoff can go into the ocean and create algae, which is literally lack of oxygen. And again, it can kill fish and can be very toxic. So when you think about it, I want you in your mind's eye and just, you know, start blasting all the rivers, lakes, streams in the ocean around where land meets the water. Just imagine the water being reoxygenated. And, you know, send oxygen to all the fish and all the sea life. And, so, you know, you have to look at some of the effects and you have to keep the energy work going. So tonight I do have a special show and something that it's really out of character for me. But I thought we could all use a little break out of all the energy work we've been doing. And I've got Tommy Hawksblood coming on and he's a speaker, writer, and UFO researcher. So we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff, UFOs and death experiences and close encounters in Bigfoot and all kinds of stuff. So, Tommy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Greetings. Awesome. Well, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on. And I know you also live in Hawaii, so aloha. And I can't wait to talk to you about all the stuff we're going to talk to about tonight. So where do you want to start?
Well, you know, what you said before, I just want to put a little thing on that. Because do you know the story of the Rain Man? Many, many years ago, there was a person that could create rain wherever he went. He wrote a book and he kind of disappeared. After the book was printed, the book disappeared. And he was noted for doing that, creating rain wherever he went.
Yeah.
I'll have to dig that story up and find it for you because it's really interesting because what happened to him. But don't forget, they were seeding the clouds to make it rain in the 50s.
Bruh. Oh, my sound's gone.
All right. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
All right. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you fine.
Okay, great. I just took my headphone off because they weren't working. Okay, what did you say in the 50s?
I think it was the early 50s. It might have even been before that. I'm bad on times. My mind is like, I had dyslexia and a couple different things, so numbers are like pretty backwards all the time for me. But what I wanted to get into is I've been dealing with this UFO world, spiritual world since I was six. And then everything I talk about is the truth as far as I know it and experienced it. I don't deal with lies. I hate to deal with people that tell stories that I know are not true. And people say, well, how do you know your truth is your truth? I said, well, when you have actual experiences, you know things are real. Like Bigfoot's real. I was a foot away from one. I was 10 feet away from an alien. I was about 15 feet away from a ship. I stopped my brother from being abducted. So I've been around all those kind of things. I had five death experiences and I spent almost 40 years traveling out of my body. I'm part Native, so I did Native dance in 25 years. I studied with the medicine woman 35 years. I'm sorry, 25 years as well. So I've been pretty busy. I wrote four books. I did a book on how to see a UFO manual. PDF file, which I'm trying to give away, because I want people to see it. I mean, all this stuff about disclosure, we already have disclosure. But to understand why they're here and what's going to happen, nobody's talking about that. So I was in the UFO world lecturing for years, and we're okay?
Yeah, we're good. Thank you very much. Thank you.
So,
I have to say I've lived here in Hawaii for 14 years, and about 10 years ago, maybe longer, there were spaceships all over Hawaii that was actually visible and all different shapes.
Well, they're still here. They didn't go anywhere. We've got two different races here. We've got the Pleiadians, and we also have the aquatic race, which live in the ocean. And that's what all these people see, these green spheres going into the ocean.
Uh-huh.
So, and I deal with people that are involved with that. I was in the UFO world. I was close to all the big name UFO people. Most of them are dead, disappeared. I was friends with a family. He worked for NASA, but his whole family disappeared. I can go into that whole story, but six of my best friends disappeared. One other one's in a nut house in Long Island, really famous person, which the UFO world kind of just shunned him away. His name's John Ford. He shot the best video of a UFO crash on Long Island, and I was out where it crashed. Sorry about that. Most of the people have no clue what's going on. And like you said, Hawaii is so populated by UFOs all the time. I got all my friends in my neighborhood seeing ships all the time as well now. They go out half of the night. One guy's out in the middle of the night. I saw ships all the time. Did you see them? And I just filmed three videos. I didn't put them anywhere. And it actually proves they're not satellites. Because all you hear, oh, it's a satellite. And that's not the case. They want you to believe that. I mean, I see about 10 in the morning, about 4 o'clock. In a row, I filmed a whole bunch, and now, but Elon Musk, when his stupid satellites he's putting up, they're little, and they're kind of linked together, and a lot of people are seeing that now, and they put it on TV here in Hawaii, I guess you saw that, but he's planning on putting up like a 1600 in the next year, and he just made a statement. I think people should listen to this one. By 2050, he wants to put, 5 million people on Mars?
Okay. Yeah.
And I know people don't want too much truth because they don't believe half of it, but we do have ships that can go to Mars. And one's called the Delphi and the other one's called the Aurora. And a friend of mine that was dealing with that was the first person to discover Area 51. He's in jail now. They actually blinded him. They're moving him to another prison. And they got no evidence. They had 150 charges with no evidence and no proof and no witnesses. But they still put him in jail. But he wrote one of the most incredible books that I think are out there in the UFO world, if you want to know the truth. I mean, everybody's writing stories about disclosure. And they're talking about planes in the sky. You can see them. I can see them. Anybody can go out any night if it's clear and see one. That's not what disclosure is about. They should be more worried about what they're really doing, what's going to happen when they do come down, which they already did, what abduction's really about. Nobody wants to talk about those things for real. And the people now are moving into this experiencer name instead of abductee, saying they had a good conversation with the aliens, they were taken up on a ship, and all those kind of stories. I hope I'm not going too fast, am I?
No.
Okay. I don't know which way you want to go with that, because I can go deeper in any aspect of that. And the near-death experiences, I had 5. And I listen to all these people that have a death experience, one, and then suddenly they write spiritual books and say they're spiritual and all these things. I challenge everybody. I'm really hardcore. Most people do not like me because I say, where's your truth? Where's your proof? Where's anything? And if anything you're saying is important, what's important? And you would think after 50 years, 70 years, there would be one shred of proof of an alien or a ship, which they never released. So people want disclosure, but they don't want the truth. I was lecturing with a person named Sergio 18, who's a top UFO photographer in the United States. We shot more pictures of ships, creatures, aliens, entities than anybody else in the United States. We went public. We were the first people to film orbs. And if people want to know what orbs are, there's multiple definitions of an orb. But each person has to decide what they want to believe, what they don't want to believe in. And the sad part for me, all these people saying the good aliens, bad aliens. I say, well, it's like good and bad people. We're all the same. I mean, we do good things, we do bad things. But the reality is, what is good and what is bad? And when you have a race, we have an agenda. Every country has an agenda. So when an alien race comes here, no matter what race they are or where they're coming from, it's an agenda and it's not our agenda. So people want, people just like, oh, well, they must want to help us. Or they don't want to destroy us. They don't want to do this. But something that was said by Mr. Putin about 6 months, between 5 and 6 months before Trump was elected, and this is no lie, on Russian TV, he said he wanted Trump to come out and release the facts about 9/11. And he said he wanted them to tell the truth about what they're doing with aliens. But in the interim, he said, we're dealing with 37 races. Two of them want to destroy the planet. So, and this was before he was elected. So why he would say that to Trump? I mean, that's nobody even talks about that. I mean, it was in Russian. If you couldn't have a translator, you wouldn't understand it, which I had a translator translating word for word for me. But there's so many things happening right now. And I mean, I know we're trying to heal the planet, but if we don't heal our own people, I'm writing a book on something totally different than aliens, government, spiritualism. I'm dealing with a topic that's going to destroy the planet. I mean, people aren't ready for the total truth. They like little bits of it, and it has to be happy information. I mean, if they knew aliens were here using us for certain things, I mean, I don't go into too many people like Zachariah Sitchin, who brainwashed half of the UFO world to believe that the Anunnaki is going to come and help us and change the world. They created us. I mean, a lot of the things, because there's no religion in what aliens say, and I challenged anybody in the UFO world. I said, prove anything they say, prove that they have a clue what God is. I mean, the scientists today have no clue. And I said, these races that supposedly created us, they're playing God, if that's what they believe. But what created them? So the whole scenario is complete programming by the government, by aliens. And people that get abducted, which I know for a fact, anybody that's actually, hold on, sorry about that. Anybody that's actually abducted gets implanted. And an implant means they could always track that person wherever they go. But at the same time, anybody that has been abducted is programmed. And these people come out with incredible stories. But if you want to go back to the 50s, when they allowed the alien races to abduct people, they gave them a certain number of how many people they could abduct. But Truman and Eisenhower were both responsible for that. And they said they cannot remember what happened on the abduction. And now, since there's so many people being abducted on a weekly basis, they give them a program. And the program said, oh, we met aliens and he took us on a ship. And they took us to a place where they created a whole family from us. And I mean, the stories just get better and better. And the facts are, we have not one shred of proof on it. But like I said, we have pictures of ships that you can actually see, not blurred images and things like that. So when people want to find the truth, it's out there. Whether they're ready to listen to it and see it, that's a different story. I'll cut it off there and let you decide if you want to ask me a question or you want me to just, whatever.
I do. What are your interpretation of orbs? I get to take pictures of them all the time.
Well, here's the thing. The person that I was, Sergeant 18, he actually copyrighted the name orbs. We were the first people in New York City in front of a couple hundred people shooting orbs in the room with all the people in it. We could shoot orbs anywhere. Anywhere we went, whatever we did, we did different cameras. I mean, when we would lecture, we would bring people out at nighttime, and anybody that came out with us would film all kinds of orbs and everything. I mean, they shot a picture of me dancing, and it was thousands of them, thousands of them around me. And five different people shot the same picture with all these orbs around me, so it wasn't the camera. So, I mean, that's what you hear all the time. Well, it was dust in the air. It was rain particles. Yes, they can create orbs, but actually orbs are different things. They can be a ship. They can be an alien inside it. They can be a small ship that came from a mothership. They all have different abilities. And each one of them, I mean, they have different characters. They move different speeds. They're big, small, or they're gigantic. I mean, I always say, just because we're a certain size doesn't mean every other race, every other being has to be fitting into our agenda. I mean, like, we know about giants. We know that there were giants here that were maybe 15 feet tall. But they don't talk about giants 30, 40 feet tall. They don't talk about beings of higher worlds and different dimensions and all those other kinds of things, because very few people ever had an experience with them directly. Lots of people do dream and have visions and all that, but how many of them are real and really suitable to this reality? I mean, I spent 45 years learning how to travel into all the other worlds, higher dimensions. I spent 25 years learning to travel out of my body, but I did learn all my past lives back to Atlantis. And it's not like when somebody says, well, an Atlantis this or Atlantis that. I mean, when they talk about the Anunnaki, Atlantis was here before the Sumerians were. They were destroyed by the Mantis and the Anunnaki. And then what was left here was reprogrammed by the Anunnaki, but they didn't make us. So they created a scenario of killing, murder, and what's the other word, a good word, sacrifice. So yeah, the scenarios of who and what they are very evil. So when they say the good race is going to help us, so the new alien Anunnaki are going to come and help us, really? I said, do you see one proof of the world getting, I know I deal with so many energy workers, healers and all that. I've been one of the highest medicine women that I feel is on this planet. And, you know, God has created this planet for a reason. And nobody wants to look at what the reason was. But I want to throw this in, because my life is more on a spiritual side now than worrying about aliens. If you want to check history, there was no real God before Jesus came here. There were gods, plural. Even Adam and Eve, the whole story, if you want to listen to that God that was in that, wasn't a real God. I mean, the story's not real. I mean, it was based on some kind of factual evidence of what was going on at a certain time, but not the races that came here. There was 9 races here. When Atlantis was active, when it was the most perfect time of planet Earth, there were 9 races here, and there was 9 different colored races. 5 races left, and one of each one of those races became a deity, like Krishna, Green Tara. I mean, they became gods, little gods, but they didn't become God itself. Jehovah itself isn't God itself. And I mean, people don't understand the Bible. And I was going to become a preacher when I was young. I went to church 6 days a week, 5 hours a night. I was going to become a preacher. And then I said, I don't agree with this. But I always had this connection, and I want to go into that. I did do a book. One of the most important books my newest book that I wrote is The True Teachings of Jesus from God Realization, what Jesus was really teaching. And it wasn't about forgiveness. I mean, mankind created his scenario of who Jesus was, who God was. And there's no good definition of what God is, really. Was that okay for your orb question?
I think you went a little out there, but for those people that don't really know what the hell an orb is, you know, if you take a picture at night, you're going to see circles in this orbs, you know. Well, my friend has taken many, many pictures, and I've grabbed, you know, been able to take some. But with hers, you can see little tiny beings in them, and sometimes they're different colors, and yes, they can grow bigger. And you did put a little bit of a different new perspective on it for me. But I've really even seen orbs in the water. So I think it's pretty trippy. But let's talk about Bigfoot. What was that Bigfoot experience?
All right. I was involved with, I got involved not voluntarily, but pulled into the Montauk Project.
Mm-hmm. What now? Tell everybody what the Montauk Project is.
Well, that's like really hard to make a short statement on it, but we have to go back to the first part of that, which was the Philadelphia experiment. All of it was created by Tesla. Tesla decided he wanted to create things. He met with alien race, and I actually saw his notes, and he wrote he worked with an alien race. He was given 200 inventions that changed reality. He created quantum physics. He created the place where the HARP system was created. I mean, all the most dangerous weapons, an earthquake machine. He created that in 1900. Imagine 100 years later what the government's doing with an earthquake machine. And I've been on top of the earthquake charts for the past 20 years, and it's never been as bad as in the past year. And this year is probably going to be worse than last year. That's no doubt. But getting back to the Philadelphia experiment, Tesla created time travel. Einstein says we couldn't go backwards and forwards in time, which was a lie. Einstein also has in his notes he worked with the race. And whatever race he worked with, we gave him half information because we could go back in time. Well, the alien races knew that. But I guess they weren't planning on letting us have that information. But the race that Tesla worked with, which I do not know what race it is. I asked every psychic medium and everybody else I know on this planet, and nobody can come up with a real answer. But basically, when Tesla worked with a race, the machines and the inventions he had were real. And he designed them and everything else. But that's when the government came in, took 50 of his inventions, which included the HARP system, which is the most deadliest weapon on the planet, most evil weapon on the planet, and CERN's catching up to it. But basically, when the Montauk Project happened, they moved the base out to Long Island. In that base, they used this, they call it the chair, and the chair they would put people in, and that's how they made them go through time traveling by themselves, and that without, the Philadelphia, it was a ship that went back in time, and everybody was on a ship. But in the Montauk Project, they created the chair, and when you hear the Montauk chair, they put all these things on a person and they send them back in time. They created a better one than what they had then, just so you know now. There's incredible ones now. But in the interim, when they created the first time in the Philadelphia experiment, they caused a serious problem. In 1947, somebody died that shouldn't have died. Because of that, it changes the history of reality. So they've been trying to fix that problem. But by doing that, something that people are hearing a lot of now, vortex. The most important vortex was the one out in New York and New Jersey, because that's the vortex that ripped through into the astral plane. It allowed all these other dimensional beings and everything else to come through it. The government's trying to close it up. They can't. Tesla didn't tell them how to do it. He just told them how to build a machine to go through it. So when they did that, the Montauk Project opened up. They were sending these people back and forth in time. But in between that, they were abducting children from all over the world and doing operations. And that's, you could check the facts. There's a lot of facts proving that. And they would do really weird operations on their brain. Lots of children died. But they did create an alternate reality thinking for children, which they played with as they grew up.
Hey, have you ever heard of the Diewald computer?
Yes, I did.
Alien technology?
You know, basically everything's alien technology.
Well, the guy did a TED talk, you know, and I love it, these guys with egos, and they come out and he's bragging about it, and it, you know, how they can go into different dimensions and pull and take whatever they want from there and bringing it into here. And then when he was talking, goes, oh my God, yes, it's just, when I get around it, sometimes I feel it's like so alien. Oh my God. Okay. Thank you. First clue.
You still there?
Yep, I am.
Oh, okay. I thought I lost you. Sorry.
So wouldn't you say part of what they're doing also is connected with these supercomputers?
Well, the computer world, I'm on a computer 10 hours a day, but the computer world is a serious problem for the world. It's taken over children's brains and everything else.
Hello? think we're losing you.
Tommy, you're on speaker in here.
Okay. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. I turned it on and I got into my car. Hold on. I wish I could get rid of the car.
Well, obvious, everybody, he is not in a studio.
I'm not in a studio right now.
All right.
Hello? Oh, yeah. He keeps getting moved around from the car. Can you hear me now?
I can. I can hear the car door ding.
Okay, she's cut off now.
Live radio, only on live radio.
All right, I guess I'm going to talk to you from my car. Sorry about that.
All right, are we good to go?
Yeah, we're good to go. Sorry about that.
Okay, let's get back. Tell us about your Bigfoot experience.
All right, I was with Sardell 18, the person I did all my UFO research up where Tesla worked. He worked on government property up in Wanaka, New Jersey. And that's one of the most important UFO stories that's never told. Because 9 months, ships were going in and out of the reservoir. The Army was stationed around it. Tesla was working with DuPont. And they worked inside the mountain up on Wanaka. That's where we did all our UFO research. During that time, I mean, we were filming all kinds of strange phenomena, but what happened was we saw these lights, and we said, well, let's go over to a different area where we never went. So we parked the car in the van there. I had a scientist in there who was actually lecturing in the conference. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, okay. All right. And we were in the van. I got out. I said, I just want to go for a short walk. Usually, I put a belt on. The belt has like two cameras, batteries, a knife. I walk with a staff, two flashlights. So I'm usually prepared when we go out. So I said, let me just take a short walk. It was by the part of the reservoir that they just created where they flooded the city. So I started walking around. I heard that squeaking sound.
Oh, that's my chair. Sorry.
Oh, no. I meant I heard a squeaking sound. And basically, I walked into the woods, which is only about maybe 10 feet into the woods. And then I heard a kind of like a snorting sound. And all of a sudden, I felt all my hair on my body stand up. And I turned around, and it was like about less than a foot in back of me, looking down at me. And I grabbed my hip to grab the camera, which I didn't have. And then I realized, I said, I got nothing. So I freaked, and I'm so sorry that I did. I turned around because it stamped on a piece of wood, a log, and it just snapped it. So I started running back to the van, screaming, get out the cameras, get out the cameras. By the time I got back to the van, the two people I was with inside the van wouldn't open the door. And they said, what's the matter? I said, I just saw a Bigfoot. Oh, I don't deal with Bigfoot. I only deal with aliens. And he wouldn't open the door. And then the scientist was frozen solid. He just had a dead stare and he wouldn't move. I said, come on out of there. And it took him 5 minutes to open the door to come out of the van. I thought the Bigfoot was going to come running after me. I was hoping it would, but it didn't. When he came out, all of a sudden, the Bigfoot was howling for about 5 minutes. Every 30 seconds, it would do a loud scream like you hear on TV. And then it stopped, and then we heard dead silence for another 5 minutes. And when it's dead like that, you know something's extremely wrong. All the wolves, and it must have been about maybe 30, 40 wolves howling around all the mountains, howling at the same time. I mean, the moon was a quarter moon and stuff. The moon was out, but we did our UFO stuff for there for 3 years. Never heard a wolf howl, ever. Now all these wolves are howling all around the mountains. And then like he goes, well, what's that? And I said, well, somebody's chasing somebody. Either the Bigfoot was chasing the wolves or the wolves were chasing the Bigfoot. Something went down. And then it just got real quiet, and then all the animal sounds started again and everything else. But it lasted, for me, it lasted like a half hour, the whole deal. But the scientists never said a word, never moved after that. I mean, we went all the way back home before he said, what happened? But Sergeant 18, who was with me, he was like, oh, man, what'd you see? What'd you see? I said, what a Bigfoot was like. I mean, it was like 2 feet bigger than me. And then he goes, well, I don't deal with those kind of things. I said, well, how do you know they're not aliens, right? So that was my Bigfoot experience. But then I was in New Jersey, and I moved to, I was in Washington State, and I was there for a while. And then I moved into Oregon, and I had a girlfriend in Oregon. So I was living in Oregon for maybe a year and a half. But while I was living there, every night about 10:30, I would hear the Bigfoot's howling. And just to prove it, I called my girlfriend out. I said, hey, check this out. Come on outside. And she heard it. Wow, what was that? I said, well, sounds like a Bigfoot. So I went out into the woods trying to find it. And I got really close, but it kind of just disappeared. I don't know if I would say they actually can disappear when they want. I mean, if you hear every other Bigfoot story, they say, oh, they disappear when they want to. Maybe they do. I mean, I couldn't prove that.
Did you ever see the tracks in the ground?
You know, I wasn't, see, everything that I did, I wasn't trying to prove it to anybody else, which is kind of weird, but that's the way I was. Sanjay 18 was trying to create a scenario and writing books at that time about that. I just wanted to see an alien. I wanted to meet an alien. I wanted something good to come out of it, but that never happened. But here's the interim. As that, I chased him. I mean, I saw prints. I can go into stories about footprints. We got a footprint of a dragon up at Wanaku, New Jersey. There was five of us. I'm going back with that. You want me to or not? It's up to you.
Well, my girlfriend has seen reptilians in Idaho.
Well,
a flying reptile. So, yeah.
Well, New Jersey has that, what's the they call that flying creature, whatever it is. I'm bad with names. But it looks like a human with wings, and he flies around in dumpsters down and around Atlantic City. I mean, the first... Mothman, yeah. X-Files was based on true stories taken from a police department. The first story of a Bigfoot in Jersey was down in Atlantic City. The Bigfoot used to go into the dumpsters getting food out of there. And the drunks would always report it. So they just said it's a bunch of drunks with the stupid story all the time. But when they did the movie for X-Files, it was based on that. I mean, they did kill it. I mean, they don't talk about that either. I mean, even the Cooper Chopper monster, when they brought it from Puerto Rico to the United States, I mean, they don't talk about that either. So the Chupacabra monster?
Yeah.
I call it an alien pet. They dropped it off, and that's what it is. I mean, that's why it's what kind of creature it is. I mean, it looks very much like a dog, so it's I wouldn't say it's much greater or powerful, but it's I mean, it does eat a lot of animals. It doesn't eat a lot of people. So I wouldn't say it's a major threat to the United States. But there is a major threat in the United States, which they don't talk about. Because when I drove across the country, I'm sure you heard the word Linda Moulton Howe.
The what?
Linda Moulton Howe. She's investigating... I got an echo, but that's okay. I can change it. But she was investigating cattle mutilation for 40 years.
Oh, right.
She was on coast to coast every month, and he always asked her for a preview of what was happening and stuff. And she never came up with any proof. And then she came out. I challenged her three times on coast to coast, and one of them was, well, herds of deer were dying and herds of elk are dying. And she said, well, it's the elk that go up to the volcano and they drink the water and it's killing all the males. I said, where'd you come up with that story? When I was traveling across the country, going back from California back to the East Coast, I stopped at a hot springs. I was like driving for two nights and I said, I'm going to just take a break. I mean, one night, not two nights, sorry. And this lady, I started talking to her. She goes, well, yeah, my father's, my father. Her husband's the head doctor in the town. And they called him in, and he had to testify that the elk are dying of mad cow disease. I said, how's that even possible? I said, and they're dying all across the United States from mad cow disease? But Linda Montana was saying they were dying because they drank the water out of the volcano. So the scenarios of that. Sorry?
No, I'm from Michigan, and they also said that the deer had mad cow disease.
See, yeah, well, the herds were dying. I don't know how bad.
Call ended.
Oh, hello?
Oh, sorry about that. I'm shifted over to my phone again. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can't hear you loud. I can't make it loud. Just trying to figure out how to make this louder. All right, well, yeah, so the deer dying were herds. And for mad cow disease, I don't know if people understand what mad cow disease. It means it ate meat from a diseased cow. So to say that all these elk and deer all across the United States ate disease from a cow, but they're not admitting that because they wouldn't admit that the herds of deer were dying or the herds of the elk were dying. I mean, I was in Jersey when the bird flu hit and it was killing all the birds. I was working for the phone company. All the birds were all over the roofs of houses and everywhere. And I said, oh, it's not affecting anything. Eagles were dying. Everything was dying. I mean, you can't rely on whatever the government says on anything because they never bring out the facts and they don't talk about it. And then they talk about all the things around it like, oh, well, there was fireworks going off and it made all the birds crack into each other. Really? I mean, they come up with the worst scenarios. One last, I want to go back into the John Ford because he filmed the best video ever shot of a UFO crash on Long Island. So they arrested him saying he had uranium, that he was going to kill people in Congress by putting it in their toothpaste. Then they turned around and said he had a barrel of uranium. How in the world would anybody on this planet, in the United States even, get a barrel of uranium? Never mind carry it around or move it around or being near it. The scenario was created. It was all over the TV in New York and New Jersey, saying he was arrested. He was going to kill Congress and try to kill people in Congress. He went to court. And they wouldn't let him testify because he has the video of the ship crashing on Long Island. I saw it. All right. He shipped it around the world to four different places. And if he dies, it gets released. But this was in 96. So they won't release it until he dies, wherever he sent it to these four people. But I saw it right before he shipped it out. Now, they got him in a nut house on Long Island saying he's crazy, which he's not. They won't let him go to court. And every time he gets a court case, and he has multiple lawyers, and he had a court case set up. The government comes in, and so they say, well, we have to reevaluate him. So they're allowed to keep him another year. So for the past, since 96, they kept him in jail to now. And it's a game that they play when people have any real evidence. I can go into names, which I'm not going to go into too many more names, because one of them was my best friend. And his whole family disappeared. So yeah, I don't want to say all the names of the people that I had friends with and disappeared or died or killed. But I was involved with CERN, with the head person of, there was two CERNs. I don't know if you remember. One was the government CERN and one was a private CERN. And they were visited by the government. They were injected and they were told they were going to die. And they went out to the reservation and they stayed out there for 2 weeks trying to get medicine and healed. She came back, she said, nope, and then she died a week later. And then she was the president, the vice president died a month later. So, I mean, and I can tell you stories like that of a lot of my friends that two of them told me right before they died. Now, I'll say one important name, Al Bielek. He was the one involved with the Montauk Project and the Philadelphia Experiment. He was on the ship that went back in time. Well, he told me they can't kill him until after a certain date. When he gave me the date, and this is a fact, the whole East Coast from Canada down to Florida had a blackout, and they never said why. It was a short time after that. He says now they can do whatever they want, and he died. I mean, he died sickly, but he when he went back in time the second time,
he came back much younger, because he was really old when I saw him. And then he says, they're going to send me back. My friend wanted to go with him. He goes, no, they offered me $4 million. And I know he went back, because the next time I saw him, he looked like he was like 25 years younger. So, but then he says, look, my time's over now. And then he died not too much later. But that whole story, the Montauk Project, the Philadelphia Experiment, and Tesla involved with that, is the most untalked about story. Most of the people disappeared. The people that were in the Montauk chair are completely programmed. I know two people that were. I know one person that's not, and he's in jail right now. And he wrote the most incredible UFO story about the truth that I know is true as well. So there's so many things happening in that realm, which the United States is not ready for, the people of the United States.
I was just going to ask you about Russia. What's Russia all tied up in this?
All right. Can I say a name of a book that I think is really an important book? All right. This person's in jail. They actually blinded him in jail last year. They just moved into another prison. He's the one that discovered Area 51. He discovered it. Nobody else did. He was bringing vans of people up there. Every two Thursdays, the ships would come in there and everything, and he would bring vans of people to watch it. And then when the government found out he was doing that, they bought all that land around Area 51 and took it over. And you can't even get close to the mountain now. But during that time frame, he was on Montel Williams' show, and Montel Williams said he was going to go there for Christmas. But he never did. He called up and says, I can't go. And then he goes there in January in the middle of the day and says, oh, there's nothing. And on public TV, he said, well, I don't know. There's nothing going on here. I'm friends with the 4-star general. There's nothing going on here. And that's all people can say when they leave there, if they're normal people or working for the government. So on top of that, they were always on top of Sean. And when he put out a book called Sands of Time, it's 1, 2, and 3, 4 should have came out, but they stopped him from putting out the fourth book. He explains and gave the formula for time travel. He did a lot in those books. And I don't want to get into that. I mean, if you're interested, pull up the book and get it. It's an incredible book. Poor guy, he's blinded. He was doing all the paperwork to get out of jail because they have no proof to keep him in there. But I've been friends with so many people, and the people that I'm friends with are more in serious conditions or disappeared and everything else. And the only thing I say for me, I kind of go to the spiritual level now, because the government doesn't care about that word. I mean, people could talk about spiritualism all they want. The government doesn't care. But when you talk about the secret weapons and secret stuff and what they're really doing and stuff, that's when it gets a little iffy. But if you make the story stupid, the government lets you say it. I could say all the names in the UFO world of all the stories coming out, what they're saying and everything else. I mean, people say they were operated on 300 aliens. They did these things and stuff like that. They're working with the blue race.
What's Russia's tie into this?
Okay, Russia worked with the United States. All right, here's something. I'm going to say it. We had 3 wars with alien races in space. Real wars, not like fly around in a plane and things like that. But it was due to Tesla's technology is how we stopped the war. Because I'll tell you this, we transported on their ships. So, and that's how we stopped the battle from happening. But it only prelude to a major war that's going to happen. Because there were the drones, not the drone ships, the scout ships that came here. Now, I can go into the details, but Russia was working with us, and they always have been. So when they talk about Russian satellites and all that, they didn't have satellites in the 50s. I mean, had little metal ships that could go up and down in the air, but they couldn't go nowhere or travel at the speed of light. Like I said, the Delphi and the Aurora both can. So the technology that they're dealing with is such lies, and they're feeding it to the world. And because of Zachariah Sitchin, more people believe that the Anunnaki are going to come back and save us and all those other kind of things, which is such a big lie. And I mean, most of the people in the UFO world accept that the Anunnaki are the most important race. But the reptilians and the greys and the Nordics. See, in other words, Nordics, I don't know. Do you ever know anything about the Nordics?
Well, go ahead and explain everything.
All right. Like when I said, when the Russia was working with the United States, they were fighting. Putin said it on Russian TV that we were going to, that the two alien races are trying to destroy the planet. And basically, in space, which it should be, and it's supposed to be, we're all one race, and we're one belief system, whatever you want to use the word, in space. We can't be separate. And that was the original contracts when they designed the space program, that nobody's going to be different. Like if you put a space station up there, everybody's allowed to go in it, and all those kind of things. But when we had problems with ships coming in, and I'll tell you this, I don't know what year it was, but I saw two ships get blown up here in Hawaii. I filmed the ship come in. It was on TV. They showed part of the video of the ship. And they said Russian space debris fell down from 1954. And I filmed it going across the sky. It shot out three ships and all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, the stories that they put out there, Hawaii is pretty bad. I mean, I tried to get in touch with the observatory. They won't admit to anything. We never saw a UFO. Really? I go out my window, out my house every day. At nighttime, I could see a UFO. Why is that? So getting back to where we are with Russia. Russia's been a major player with us. China's not, Japan's not, but Russia has been, because their technology is basically most of our technology as far as weapons, ground crews, missiles, and all that. A lot of that stuff we were working together on. So when we deal with Russia, are they evil? Are they our enemies? Not right now. I mean, whether Putin can deal with Trump or not in a good way, that's a different story. I mean, he gave him a warning before he got elected. So I know Trump came out with this. See, you remember this, when Trump meets Putin, they have this conversation for an hour in a room. Trump comes out and says, we're going to create a space army. We have a space army already, but that's besides the point. Then a week later, Trump comes out and says, I'm going to be president when we land on Mars. And the only reason why he would even say that, because he knows we went to Mars. So there's a lot of things that he says because he's got a weird way of speaking and talking and thinking. And he doesn't watch how he says things. So between that and Russia, like, I don't know what the deal is. I try not to follow politics because that's so corrupted. It doesn't help the middle class or the poor people. And I'm in that. So do I care about the rich people? Nobody talks about the underground cities in the United States alone. Nobody. Why is that? Where do you think money goes when they spend $5 trillion in a year? The space program gets $2 to $3 trillion a year. I mean, when you go to the underground cities, if you ever, I mean, Jesse Ventura exposed that on TV publicly. And I don't know if they didn't like him, whatever the story was, but if you pull up any shows, most of his were taken down. But every show he did, he exposed incredible things.
And that's now, why they took it down.
Well, but it was up for a year. It was up. I mean, people could have watched it if they even believed in it.
It's a different consciousness back then, and it's a different consciousness now. Maybe people would pay more attention to it now. Doesn't matter. They removed it, didn't they?
Removed what?
Didn't they? You say they removed a lot of his shows?
Oh yeah, but you can.
The truth.
There's a few up there. There's a few that you should watch. Anything that he put on TV. I mean, he did it for 2 years. The last 6 months they cut out. They didn't even let him put him on TV. But wow. Now he's in Mexico, and he said he'd run for vice president with somebody. I forgot who he said he'd run with. But he's a threat. He's a real person. I mean, he exposed important things. He went into the FEMA camps. People don't even talk about that. They're all over the United States. And people say, well, what's a FEMA camp? Well, if you don't know, you better find out. If you don't know what an underground city is and what's going on in there, you better find out. But I can tell you this, every millionaire and every billionaire has a house built underground. And I'll tell you, Oprah probably has one of the best houses built underground already when she decides to go down there. And I feel there's going to be a serious problem with alien races soon. I mean, now, do you remember the name Billy Myers, or no, you're not worried into the UFO world?
No, but actually we're at the end of the show.
Well, no problem.
Come back and do this again.
No.
It's been very interesting. No, we'll have to come and do it again because you are just chock full of information. And you can't, you know, cram it all in into.
I know. I try to put as much in because I say, well, if this person never comes back, at least they have something to think about somewhere along the line.
Well, that's true. You've given people a lot of, you know, of things to talk about, and I really hate.
Could I just say this? If anybody wants any of my books, I give my first two books away for free. Just email hawksblood1@aol.com. How to See God and the Truth and the Truth Beyond the Illusion. And I got one other book, One Truth Is Called Crazy. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to make money. I don't try to make money on anything I do. I was doing healing work, but I don't want to be in that space either. I'm more concerned about what's happening with the word God, and that's where my attention's focused.
Well, thank you again for coming on, and everybody, thanks for tuning in. Next week, we're going to have Sarah Marquise back on, and we're going to talk about a lot of ways to heal naturally. So this is Kathy Bilski, the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show on UPRN Radio, and this is January 17th, 2020. Guys, have a wonderful, safe weekend, and we'll catch you next week. Aloha.
Aloha, everybody. Thank you.